We'll open with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter 1. If you need a Bible, there's likely one in the seat back, hopefully within arm's reach. It's good to have the Word of God open and before us. If you're in Luke chapter 1 with me this morning, we're taking a short pause from our study through the book of Philippians to celebrate and remember the coming of the Lord, right? His first advent, the reason for this holiday season. Amidst all of the trimmings and traditions, we are blessed to have a time of year to consider the faithfulness of God, right? To learn as well as wonder at the miracle of his birth, in which God's plan and his provision found its way through the lives of people in receiving his word, right? In establishing faith to be that sure foundation and the Holy Spirit to be effective in the lives of his people, right? That gives us continuing examples of what it looks like to be a fellow worker in God's field, right, and to walk by faith. So today we're going to look at the life of Mary in those terms. God broke what was a largely silent 400-year span, directly communicating to his people with a visit by the angel Gabriel to Zacharias, the priest. It's time. Something's happening. Zacharias' son, John, in Luke 1:16, says he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The Lord is about to do something which is a great encouragement to the people. Right, to a nation who have, for centuries, like we saw in Psalm 150 on Wednesday night, Psalm 150 verse 2, it says, praise him for his mighty acts. Right, they were witness to them. Praise him for according to his excellent greatness. They knew that God could part the seas and stop the sun, give water from the rock, right, conquer giants, return the captives. But God is about to do a work that they needed to be prepared for this time, that we are not even prepared for, not a deliverance from the Roman occupation of their world, but he was going to transform our very relationship with God, bring deliverance from sin, though as scarlet would be washed white as snow. No longer bound to constant failure before the law and then the endless sacrifices in response, but God provided himself the way to, as Hebrews 4:16, to come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That separation and condemnation of sin removed, forgiven at the cost of God himself taking the sin of humanity upon his shoulders and bearing the wrath of God being poured out upon himself. Jesus died not for his sin. He was perfect and holy. He laid down his life as the sacrifice for your sin. This is the gift that we receive in accepting the gospel through faith in the work of Jesus, that we, Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God sent forth as a propitiation, right? That object of that receives judgment by his blood through faith. We are asked to receive the forgiveness of Jesus and trust God with our lives and eternity because of what Jesus did. And that our greatest need, right, to again find right standing before God Almighty was once and for all provided for on the cross. This is the promise made to Abraham fulfilled. Genesis 12:3, that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And truly we are blessed. But God fulfilled his word to even Satan, the serpent of old, in Genesis 3:15, that he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy came to make you new? That the child you delivered will soon deliver you? Well, in a way, in a lot of ways, actually, yes. Yes, she did. 6 months after visiting Zacharias, Gabriel was sent by God to Mary, not just with a heads up about the coming unprecedented pregnancy, but with a revelation of Jesus Christ that she could put her faith in. And so this morning, we're going to look and take a look at God's word to Mary and her response. It is a beautiful and challenging example of a relationship to God in faith. So join me in a word of prayer, and we'll look at this morning's scripture. And Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. Lord, that this is sacred time, God. This is time that's set apart for our hearts to receive your word, God, to be challenged and built up in our faith, God, to know the love of our God and Savior. And Lord, so please, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts of understanding, that there would be good ground to receive your word today. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. All right, well, beginning with verse 26 in chapter 1 of Luke, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into a hill country with haste to a city of Judah." We'll pause there for this morning. Now, this is not a situation that any of us will find themselves directly in. For the same reasons we read in Matthew that Joseph was minded to put her away secretly, this is a wholly unique work of God. And yet, as I was reading through the pages of Luke this week, my spirit was stirred to recognize parallels that faith often has to come to grips with in the life here of Mary. Right? Beginning with the origination of a relationship with God by faith, that it begins with God. Right? He gave us free will, and then the ability to choose, and then gives you his word and his truth and asks you to receive it and hold on to it and accept it and trust it. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith exists when we choose to trust God's word. And then this is not just a New Testament idea. This is how we were created to exist in relationship to God, even back in the Garden of Eden. It was what accounted Abraham as righteous before God. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." A lack of our understanding doesn't mean faith blindly hopes or wills what it might want. No, it receives God's will and then trusts him even when we can't comprehend. This is very much Mary. Notice that she did not dream this up or blindly come to this conclusion. No, God's revelation was very intentional that came to her. Verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And this virgin's name was Mary." We learn something about Gabriel in his conversation with Zacharias. In Luke 1:19, he says, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings." That Gabriel is a faithful messenger, right? And his words come directly from God himself. And God sent the message, Gabriel conveys it. Did he have authority to change it? No, most certainly not. And so too it is with Scripture, with the Word of God. It is his word. Sure, Thomas Nelson printed it, and it was written by 40 authors over 1,500 years, but it exists and remains and conveys a divine message of revealing God and man's redemption in Jesus Christ. He is given to us, as 2 Peter 1 says, grace and peace multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. That the Bible in your hand is no less wondrous than Gabriel's visit here to Mary. The words of Almighty God there are for you to receive. Right? That you are one of billions of people, and yet you have the truth and the word of God in your very possession. Mary, she was seemingly a nobody, right? Going about her life in a small town when she encountered God's word to her. The word city in verse 26 is rather generous. The name Nazareth means sticks. Nathanael asked, right, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It continues to even in our day be our kind of mentality towards these little podunk, you know, gas station towns that tend to dot the landscape. But there was in that place a young woman, most scholars determined to be around 16 years old with her whole life ahead of her. And notice that she was not there twiddling her thumbs, waiting on the Lord. No, God's word tends to meet us where we are in what we are doing. Right? Be it mending our nets or praying by the river, guarding a prisoner, begging for alms, right? Planning and anticipating a wedding. Mary is seen here to be pure and honorable, and I'm sure excited for what the future held for her. She was engaged to this man named Joseph, right? But that betrayal was more than a casual agreement. It was a legal and binding and sure thing that was before her in her life. Joseph was away at this time preparing a place for her. Just like Jesus, right? She was off the market, spoken for, and sure, just awaiting the consummation and that marriage ceremony and celebration. Joseph here, we're told, is of the house of David, which is important legally, and you get that genealogy in the first of Matthew. But if you continue through Luke, you'll find biologically in chapter 3, Mary also descends from the line of King David. And we are to know her name. It's a very interesting and short sentence there at the end of verse 27. The virgin's name was Mary. Have you ever looked up the meaning of the word or the name Mary? In Hebrew, it would have been Miriam. And I don't know how much stock you put in namesake, but it adds, I think, some color to our image of this young gal. The meaning of the name Mary, it varies a little bit, but it ranges from a sea of bitterness, wished for child, rebellious, a drop of the sea, rather salty definitions, if you will. That's my take on that name. And then it seems like, just for good measure, you'll find beloved. So, I don't know. But I think Mary had some gumption. When Zacharias meets Gabriel, he's troubled and fear fell upon him, and yet Mary seems to just open up the door and welcome him in. Granted, the circumstances were different, but you'll see Mary troubled at his sayings and not his person. But anyway, God's message to Mary begins with assurance of good news. In verse 28, he says, having come in, the angel says to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And it's true that even when God's word is correction, it is good. Right? That he reveals truth to us at all is a blessing of his favor towards us. That we don't have to stumble around in the darkness, but no, our faith walks and exists in the light of God's word. Proverbs 3:12 says, whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father and the son whom he delights. When we're challenged even in repentance or struck facing our sin in the mirror of the scripture, it's for God's love that we receive these things. It's for our good that we heed them. God is truly for us, and we are in his favor. His word to us is reason to rejoice. Mary here is said to be highly favored. It's an expression revealing that she's being held in a state of kindness, that there's a place of grace that she exists in, and that her benefit is sought by the Lord. All right. With men, this type of greeting is usually something that puts us on guard, right? If somebody opens up to you with flattery, right, what seems like flattery, we will maybe take a step back and think to ourselves, all right, we'll see where this is going. But even the prophet Balaam knew, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man, right, that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said and it will not do? Or has he spoken and he will not make it good? This is the strength of our faith. The word of God is sure and steadfast. We can trust him. Even when he says, I love you. Even when he says, you are, my grace is extended to you. You are in a place of my favor. And we're often challenged by either correction or feeling unworthy of God's love. And there are many days I'm troubled by God's word, knowing that I'm nothing in this scheme of things. And yet, God's word says we have been given, in 2 Peter 1:4, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that it is in the world through lust. We find that God's word tells you that by faith in Jesus you are righteous and holy before God, that it's because of his great love which he loved us, he came and laid his life down even while we were yet sinners, that we are found in his grace and his favor is towards you. It's by his love he sent his son to save us while we were still sinners. And we can understand Mary's trouble here. Really? I don't really feel especially favored by God. I live in Nazareth, not in a palace somewhere. I'm a 16-year-old girl in the first century. My life is really has not much of an impact or value in the scheme of things. But verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. So, okay, where is this going with this angel? Mary begins to wrestle with what she's hearing. And we will often find ourselves wrestling with God's word. And God is so faithful not to leave us, though, in the dark or petrified by fear. Like God told Joshua, like Jesus told his disciples, Angel Gabriel says, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Do not be afraid. God is for you. The Lord sustains and builds up her faith here to continue this work in her. He speaks a directive, right? Do not be afraid, followed by comfort. Right? You are favored by the Lord. And she had to trust God with her fear in this place and remain in that place of favor. You remember our lesson from the end of Ephesians, right? The whole focus of those last chapters was stand therefore. And having done all to stand. Right? The enemy's ploys all revolve around getting us to move from where we firmly stand in a confidence of God's word in our life and in receiving that. But really, her fear and faith were about to be put to the test even in a greater way as he continues. Verse 31, it says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Okay, I can see where this is going, and she understands this. She's going to have a baby boy and name him Jesus, Yeshua, Joshua, right? That is good news, right? Having a boy is an honor, especially in their day. Jesus, a common name, means Yahweh is salvation, which is a strong sentiment of that day, right? I can't wait to get married, right? It looks like God is blessing me. And Mary, right, at this point says, okay, well, maybe I see the God's favor, you know, just encourage me in my life right now. But Gabriel then continues, right? He doesn't, in verse 32. It says, he will be great and called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Right? And this is what she probably needed to have run by her again. You're telling me he's not going to be called the Son of Joseph? He's the Son of the Highest, the Most High. That word for highest is a title for God. That he's going to sit on David's throne. You do know that it's been hundreds of years since we've had our sovereignty. King Herod right now holds a political throne, and he's an Edomite, right? And he's going to reign forever. Mary, did you know? I think we have to assume, growing up in a Jewish home, a relative of a priest, Mary knew some of the finer details of King David's life and God's promises to him. 2 Samuel 7:12, God had told David, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you who will come from your body. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son." The nation knew this very well to be a prophecy concerning the Messiah. We see it even in declared from the blind who Jesus heals into the life of the Pharisees. There's even a Canaanite woman in Matthew 15 who declares Jesus to be the son of David with the hope of recognizing the Messiah there. And I'm sure Mary thought the world of Joseph, but she knew that he wasn't God. But verse 34, so Mary says to the angel, "How then can this be, since I do not know a man?" Mary is understandably confused. She's a virgin. This angel guy is pretty emphatic about all of this happening. But as she looks around, and I think this is important here, that she doesn't doubt God's word in this moment. She simply admits that she doesn't understand. Right? How can this be? This is an okay thing for us to confess in our lives as we walk with God. And God may or may not answer you. But contrast her statement, right? How can this be, with Zacharias earlier in this chapter? He says in Luke 1:18, Zacharias says to the angel, "How shall I know?" Right? He says, I don't trust what you're saying here. Mary trusts what she's hearing, but she doesn't know how it's going to be possible. Faith rests in God's word. Faith rests in God's word. Zacharias doubted God's word. Mary doubted her understanding of God's word. There's a difference there. And we see instead of a rebuke, God then gives her further explanation and encouragement to continue. Still beyond our understanding, but God shows her his faithful work and then reminds her of his power in response. Verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. So therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's something that God is going to wholly get the glory in, and it's his name that will be attached to what will happen in your life. Remember, Elizabeth, your relative, go and see if my word to her was true. How important it is that we share the things that God is doing in our lives, right? The faithfulness of his word, you might never know how God would use in and through in your life, right? Even a season, a lifetime of barrenness, seasons of grief, and yet to recognize God's faithfulness to encourage others, man, we must continue to stand fast and walk with God. We must keep God in the equation. Verse 37 says, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Mary is about to have a life of rejection, of scandal. At this point, she very well may lose her husband and be destitute with a child and no way to support herself. And yet Mary's faith shines here in verse 38. Mary says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Mary knows who holds her life. She is the Lord's. She knows who she serves. She knows who she worships. And she knows that his word is true. The angel departs. And what do we find Mary doing? Again, she doesn't just wait around and twiddle her thumb. No, verse 39, Mary arose in those days and went the hill country with haste. Mary arose and went. She found herself lifted, right? And then moved. She was not having even received these promises, and yet she heads out to Judah with eyes open to see God's faithfulness, with an expectancy for God to work in her life. And Mary reminds us in this that God has chosen each one of us, right? His sons and daughters with purpose, that we would walk in them. Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. That none of us is a nobody. None of us is an accident. As God speaks to his people in Isaiah 43:1, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. Now we are not Israel, but we are his own special people, grafted into the witness of God's truth. And he knows your name and his plan for you in the midst of that. Psalm 139:14. We praise the Lord, for we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Right? That we get an opportunity to witness and be a part of that which God is doing and sharing his love to his creation and bringing redemption to the lost and stumbling of in our world in darkness. God sees and knows your life with the same detail and understanding as Mary here, and has good works for you to walk in as well. And we will be growing as we receive his word in our lives, right? As we're challenged by it, as we're troubled, as we wrestle with it, as we come to the Lord with our understanding and commit our lives to just continue in what he would speak to us, right? As we are living our lives, don't sit and twiddle your thumb. But again, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Allow yourself to be challenged by his truth. And we might be challenged to the point of fear in receiving his word, but remember that God is for us in these things. Jesus knew we would face fear. So he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, so let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And we might not understand, but if we know God is in the equation, we know that all things are possible. And though we may face rejection, and certainly Mary did, the Bible even references backhanded comments concerning Jesus' parentage, Mary knew God's word was true, and it allowed her to continue in the power of God in her life, and that is what she rested and rejoiced in. The answer to how continues to be by the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Mary shows us that God's word not only meets us where we are and what we are doing, but it asks to receive what God would do in our lives. And sometimes that can be rather frightening when we're challenged to love the unlovable or forgive those who have wronged us or to stand fast in a world of shifting ideas and philosophies or to surrender ourselves, right, with what we think we have to offer or value. But when we know God is calling us to, just like Mary, we need to trust him. We need to let God lift us up and then go where he directs us. Don't be afraid to admit your fear or confusion, but hold fast to God's word because he is able. He's more than able. Remember Ephesians 3:20, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power is the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit that we are not alone with. That God has poured out upon us as well, his Spirit. And he will see us through, and he will strengthen our faith along the way as we continue with him. Because if we arise and go, we're going to encounter testimonies and witnesses of God's faithfulness all along the way. And God will work wonders, plans through your life in the wisdom and ways that only an awesome and gracious God can. It's the wonder of Christmas. It's God's great redemption that came through lives of faith who welcomed in God's word. And we are a continuing work of that, lives empowered by the Holy Spirit to the praise of God's glory. Witnesses to the faithfulness of God and his promise to save his people from their sin. Amen. Amen. And Lord, I thank you again. God, I thank you again for knowing us, Lord. I thank you again for the wondrous gift of your word. Lord, let our faith be unshakable in this time. Lord, let us continue steadfast in what you have spoken. God, in the work that you have called us to. Let us arise and go. Lord, to our Jerusalem, Lord, to our Samaria, Lord, and to the very ends of the earth, God, knowing that, Lord, you have called us by name. Lord, you know our rebellious, Lord, our fears, our things that we need to grow or commit into your hands, but Lord, we trust you for the work. Thank you again for this morning, and we ask that you'd bless these things. In Jesus' name, amen.